ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 2। द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड अजामिल डिलीवर्ड बाय द विष्णुदूतास। टुडे वी विल बी स्पीकिंग ऑन वर्स 17। तैस्तान घानि पूयन्ते तपोदान व्रतादिभिः नाधर्मजं तद्धृडयम् तदपि शांग्रि सेवया। ट्रांसलेशन परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। ऑल्दो वन मे न्यूट्रलाइज द रिएक्शंस ऑफ सिनफुल लाइफ थ्रू ऑस्टेरिटी चैरिटी वाउस एंड अदर सच मेथड्स, दिस पायस एक्टिविटीज कैनॉट अपरूट द मटीरियल डिजायर्स इन वन्स हार्ट। However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. Purport. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42, Bhakti Pareshanubhava Virakti Anyatracha. Devotional service is so powerful that one who performs devotional service is immediately freed from all sinful desires. All desires within this material world are sinful, because material desire means sense gratification, which always involves action that is more or less sinful. Pure bhakti, however, is anya bhilashita shunya. In other words, it is free from material desires which result from karma and jnana. One who is situated in devotional service no longer has material desires, and therefore he is beyond sinful life. Material desires should be completely stopped. Otherwise, although one's austerities, penances, and charity may free one from sin for the time being, one's desires will reappear because his heart is impure. Thus, he will act sinfully and suffer. Translation once again. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contamination. Hare Krishna. I'd like to first seek blessings of all assembled devotees to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very powerful verse in a series of verse which Vishnu Dutas are narrating to Yamadutas regarding the process of devotional service, the power of devotional service. In this particular verse, they are mentioning that how if one wants to eradicate sinful reactions, and especially the sinful proclivity in one's heart, and the method of austerity, charity, vows, they are not sufficient. And therefore, one needs to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, and by taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, one can be freed from all such contaminations. So before we actually begin our class, I would like to narrate a very beautiful pastime from the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Lord taking the form of fish, Matsya Avatar. From the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, after Sukadeva Goswami had briefly described the various incarnations of Krishna, namely fish, fish, Varaha, and Kuruma, Parikshit Maharaj got a sincere desire from his heart to know something about this beautiful incarnation of Lord as fish. So then questions to Sukadeva Goswami that the Lord always stays in his abode in Vaikuntha Loka, yet he descends in various beautiful incarnations. And then he questioned him that, please tell me about Lord appearing as fish incarnation. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that Lord's incarnation as fish was uncommon. Usually if you see the life of a fish, it's a condemned species. The fish does not smell good. We remember traveling by local train, and if our coach is next to the carriage coach and someone is carrying that fish basket, it's such a terrible smell. In fact, many people, they take fish home to have a good feast, but they put their nose when they go to the market to buy the fish. So they have to heavily stuff the whole thing and then eat. So fish is a very condemned species, always in anxiety, being caught either by big fishes or by the fisherman's net. So Sukadeva Goswami is asking here, Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadeva Goswami that how come that Lord Krishna takes the incarnation of fish, which is such a condemned species? And Parikshit Maharaj is thinking in his own mind that definitely there must be a reason for it, and there must be a devotee for whom Lord took this form as fish to favor. So when he asked Sukadeva Goswami this question, Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj starts narrating the pastime of Lord as fish incarnation. Sukadeva Goswami says that, well, Lord Krishna descends in various incarnations, and there are various reasons for that. He says that Lord descends for protecting the cows, for protecting the brahmanas, protecting the demigods, the devotees, the Vedas and the Dharma. And therefore when Lord descends, even though he takes the form of a fish, he is not affected by the laws of nature. Generally, person, if he takes the body of a fish, he is completely bound by the laws of nature. But Krishna descends by his supreme will, and he takes such a form to favor or to protect someone. And then Sukadeva Goswami gives the example of air. In the material world, we see air. The air is unaffected. But when the air passes through a bad area, you may see that the air carries a smell for some time. But actually the air has not become bad. The air is always pure. Similarly, the air may go through an area where there is a lot of fragrance, a flower garden, and it may carry the aroma for some more distance. But again, the air is pure. Similarly, if Lord Krishna comes in any of these forms, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, it might be abominable in the outside sense, but Krishna is transcendental. Krishna is unaffected by this body. Krishna is always Satchidananda Vigraha, even in a fish body. So, Sukadeva Goswami narrates that Lord Krishna came as Matsya Avatar two times. Just like Lord Varaha came two times, so Lord Krishna as Matsya Avatar also came two times. Sukadeva Goswami mentions that first time Lord came as Matsya Avatar was in the past, during the past millennium, at the end of Brahma's day. And he narrates that how, when Brahma's day was over, Brahma was feeling sleepy. And when Brahma was feeling sleepy, because the night has come now, Brahmaji, unlike people in the material world, was not snoring. Brahmaji was chanting the Vedic mantras. While sleeping, he was chanting. Why? Because his whole day was Krishna conscious. He had performed a Herculean task of managing this universe, this creation, on behalf of Lord. Because he had served the Lord, in the night what happened? His thoughts were also Krishna conscious. So Brahmaji was sleeping and he was narrating the Vedas. However, at that time, one demon whose name was Hayagriva, not to confuse with the incarnation of Lord Hayagriva, this was a demon Hayagriva who came and stole the Vedas. Now, amazingly, that time there was no book which Brahmaji was carrying in his hand. Sometimes devotees, while reading, then to take rest. Brahmaji was not carrying a book with us and taking rest. Brahmaji was speaking from his mouth. This Hayagriva stole the Vedas from Brahmaji's intelligence. He was a high-tech robber. He could do that. No one can steal like that. But Hayagriva could steal from the intelligence of Brahma the Vedas. And Brahmaji became bewildered. He had no Vedas, no knowledge. And that time, to protect the Vedas and give it back to Brahmaji, because Brahmaji is the first person whom Vedas were given, and then he's supposed to give it to the living entities on this earth planet, on this creation. So that time, because everywhere there was water, so Krishna comes as a fish incarnation. And he comes in fish incarnation, he swims in the water, and he kills the demon Hayagriva, return back the Veda to Brahmaji. So that was the first incarnation of Lord as Matsya. The second incarnation took place, Sukadeva Goswami says, during the Chakshusha Manvantara. That is the last Manvantara. And he mentions that this happened during the reign of King Satyavrata. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that this incarnation of fish came during the annihilation. Prabhupada mentions that there was no need for annihilation during the time of Satyavrata Muni. Why? Because it was the daytime of Brahma. And as per the calculation, only at the night time of Brahma there is a devastation. So Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and says that initially in Swayambhu Manu's period, Matsya Avatar came because there was a curse announced by Agastya Muni to Swayambhu Manu. But during Chakshusha Manvantara, Krishna came as Matsya Avatar for some special reason. Because after Chakshusha Manvantara was going to come Vaivasvata Manvantara. And Krishna wanted to install Satyavrata as the next Manu. So therefore this whole pastime was created. And this annihilation took place in the day of Brahma. And Brahmaji, Prabhupada says, felt sleepy during the day, which never happens. He is very vigil in his seva. But he felt sleepy during the day, having been tired by his service. And during that time, for some duration, there was annihilation. And then, Lord came as Matsya and favored Satyavrata Muni. And Sukadeva Goswami starts narrating how it happened. The story goes like this, that Satyavrata Muni was performing austerity for welfare of everyone on the banks of river Kritamala. And that time, one day while performing austerity and offering water to the river bank, he saw a small fish in his palm and immediately threw the fish back. But the divine fish spoke and told the king that please don't throw me back into the water. In this river there are so many big aquatics and they will kill me. You are the king, kindly protect me, give me shelter. So the king immediately took the fish and took it to his house and put the fish in a water jug. After the night was over, morning the king came to see his fish. The fish had grown to the size of the water jug. And the fish replied that I am not feeling comfortable here. Please give me another big reservoir of water where I can stay comfortably. So Satyavrata king, he put the fish into a big well. But within moments, this fish became as big as the well and had no place for himself. And on the request of the king then, on the request of the fish, the king then put the fish into a lake where again the fish grew into a big size, as big as the lake. The king transferred into the largest reservoir of water he had in his kingdom. There too, the fish expanded in size, and finally the king threw the fish into a big ocean. And there the fish said, don't throw me here. There are so many big aquatics here, sharks, who are going to kill me and eat me. So the king was amazed. He had never seen a fish in his life who kept expanding every moment. So therefore he was kind of bewildered and astonished. And therefore he questioned, who are you, sir? Why are you simply bewildering me? And the way you are expanding as hundreds of miles over a moment of time, I completely believe that you are none other than the invincible Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. therefore kindly reveal your identity to me. And Satyavrata king offered very nice prayers, and he told that, O Lord, whenever you incarnate, there is a purpose for your incarnation, and the purpose being the welfare of all living entities. So kindly, if any service I can render at your lotus feet, please let me know. At that time, Lord as Matsya Avatar spoke to the king. And he glorified the king for his wonderful leadership. And he mentioned to him that within 7 days, there will be annihilation. And during annihilation, I want that you should load all the herbs and creepers which are available in the universe, in this creation, along with accompanied by all saintly brahmanas and all kinds of living entities, you should board a boat. And then I will incarnate, I will come as Matsya Avatar. And then you should, I will ply the boat in the ocean of devastation. And that time I will favor you. All your inquiries will be answered by me. And in this way, Lord disappears. The king becomes very happy at his good fortune of having the wonderful vision of seeing Lord as fish incarnation. And Satyavrata Muni immediately sits in meditation, meditating on Lord as Matsya, waiting for the day to come. He was completely fearless. At the 7th day, the oceans swelled up, and three worlds were inundated with water. That time the king saw a large boat coming towards his side. Immediately the king boarded along with the herbs and creepers, all the saintly brahmanas. So the boat was an ocean, but Lord had not appeared yet. So all the saintly brahmanas, who were much more advanced than the king, being a kshatriya, they advised the king that please kindly pray to the Lord. In fact, Matsya Avatar had told that in this dark ocean, the only light will be the effulgence of his saintly rishis. So Krishna has already glorified his rishis. But the dealing between a devotee and a devotee is that the brahmanas, even though more qualified, and even though as a pure soul, they wanted the king, who was favored by Lord as Matsya Avatar, to pray. And therefore they urged the king that kindly pray and invoke the mercy of the Lord. So Satyavrata Muni sat in meditation and prayed for the mercy. And immediately the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as the fish incarnation. And as Prabhupada mentions, he was an uncommon fish. Krishna appeared as a golden fish with a horn, and he was 8 million miles long. So when Krishna appears even as a fish, he is not an ordinary fish. He is unlimited. Whatever Krishna does, externally may look to be bewildering to us, but Krishna shows that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead even in that incarnation. Like someone asked Jananias Prabhu, and Jananias Prabhu was mentioning also in his class that Prabhupada was asked once that your Krishna is so lusty. And Jananias Prabhu quoted Prabhupada saying that, Prabhupada said, yes, he is lusty, but he is unlimitedly lusty. Can you be like him? What is his appetite? 16,108 queens. Can someone do like that? No one can do. That is Krishna. And whatever he does, he excels in that. So even as a fish when he came, he was not smelling. He was a divine fish. He was the ornament of the water he was floating in, swimming in. He was a golden fish with a horn, and he was 8 million miles long. So then, as Lord had desired, the king anchored the boat to the horn of the Matsya Avatar, the fish, through the help of the serpent Vasuki. And then the Lord was plying the boat in the ocean of devastation. And then all these beautiful prayers are mentioned, telling that how King Satyavrata was glorifying the Supreme Personality of God as Lord Matsya. And Lord answered all of his questions and enlightened both Satyavrata Muni and the great sages. And this way, this great incarnation of Lord as Matsya took place. After the inundation was over, Lord installed Satyavrata Muni, the Satyavrata King, as the son of, he became the next as the son of Vivaswan, Shraddha Dev, and then he was installed as Vaivasvat Manu. So we'll end here and we'll come back to this pastime later and we'll actually begin our class now. So here it is mentioned that Ajamil was leading a life of sins. And we can see through these passages of Srimad Bhagavatam what kind of sinful activities he did. He first of all removed his parents from his house. Then he kicked off his wife, got married to a prostitute, produced children from her, and to maintain her, and then he committed all sinful activities, even though he was trained as a Brahmana. So that was level of his sinful activities. And therefore, Vishnu Duta is saying that in this case, therefore, the austerity, charity, and vow could not work for such a person who was deeply ingrained in sinful activities. The only way he could be delivered is by devotional service. And we can see Ajamil is an example. Just by performing devotional service, namely chanting of the holy names of Krishna, he was delivered from a hellish life which was waiting for him. Now, if it's today's age, then if someone hears Ajamil's story, people will not think that he's wrong. People will think that it's normal. So therefore, today if you see, Ajamil's story is a regular story in everyone's life. And therefore there is no question of sin for people. People consider sinful life as a lifestyle. In fact, in Kali Yuga, there is no concept of pious or impious also. You ask anyone that, please come to temple, take to devotional service, otherwise you will go to hell, you will get a lower species. They don't mind. We have heard people saying, when you preach to them, that we don't mind being a cockroach, we don't mind being a dog. That is the level of intelligence in Kali Yuga. A person doesn't feel that he will go to hell also. He feels what's wrong. Like Prabhupada's example, story, that one time a priest went to a person who was a drunkard and told him that if you drink, you'll go to hell. So the man said, well, my father also drinks. So he will also go to hell. My mother also drinks. Will she also go to hell? Definitely, she will also go to hell. My friends also drink. They will also go to hell. They will all go to hell. And then sometimes I visit the prostitute there. She also drinks. She will also go to hell. And he replied, yes, they will all go to hell. And this fellow was very happy. Why? Because I will have the association even in hell. And I'll enjoy with them. So that is the concept people have. So people don't have understanding of what sinful activity is all about. Therefore, lifestyle is sinful. And people even make a mockery of the word sin. People very nicely say, my papi who? People don't feel really they are papi or sinful. They feel that it's a joke. Usme kya hai? It's part of life. So therefore, whenever we go out for preaching or book distribution, we often find people very proudly announcing that, you know, I am doing this sinful activity and it's normal. In fact, I remember many years ago, we had gone for book distribution in Seat Tyres company. And our stall was next to a canteen. In the canteen, 6 days in a week, they had non-vegetarian food. So we were encouraging everyone, please come and buy books. But many were not coming because they were going to the canteen. And they were saying that, abhi maine kuch khaya hai, I have eaten something wrong, I will not come to buy the books. So they knew that they are doing wrong. But they thought that it's part of life. So therefore it's good, I will avoid the books because I have a strong reason, because I have ate meat. One devotee is mentioning that he had started a program in Lonavala, a congregation program, and he used to have that program on Sundays. And very few people would come for the program. So you ask them, why are you not coming for the program? And I said, today is Sunday. Today we eat. So how can I come for a spiritual program? So for their convenience, he made it on Monday, so that at least they can come. So we can see that people consider sinful life to be a good disqualification to not go to God. So that is the problem in the age of Kali Yuga. And therefore, people are even proud of their sinful activities. They joke about it and they are proud of it. I remember meeting a man who was in his office and he was asked to come for a party in the evening. And he was asked, what you will take? यू टेक लाइट और हैवी और यू टेक वेज और नॉन वेज एंड दिस पर्सन प्राउडली प्रोक्लेम्ड डोंट वरी आई एम ऑल राउंडर दैट मीन्स आई टेक एवरीथिंग ही वाज प्राउड ऑफ दिस एक्टिविटी दैट इज ऑल राउंडर दैट इज टू लिमिट अ पर्सन इज सिनफुल इन दिस एज एंड ही डजंट माइंड ऑल्सो एंड इफ यू टेल हिम दैट यू आर सिनफुल टेक टू ऑस्टेरिटी चैरिटी वाउ फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल यू हैव टू कन्विंस हिम दैट इज सिनफुल एंड इट्स नॉट गुड फॉर हिम एंड देन ही विल टेक टू ऑस्टेरिटी देन चैरिटी एंड वाउ So in this age of Kali Yuga, all these penances don't work. Now, here it is mentioned what is austerity, what is charity and what is vow. We'll go through Bhagavad Gita and see what actually austerity and charity and vow actually means. Because we'll find somewhere in Kali Yuga, austerity, charity and vow exist, but in a perverted form. So in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very nicely describes in the 14th verse through 16, What is the meaning of austerity first? Krishna says, austerity of body consists of worshipping the Supreme Lord, worshipping Brahmanas, the spiritual master, the superiors, and in cleanliness, in simplicity, in celibacy, and non-violence. First of all, there is no respect for superiors in today's age. Yesterday we had been to college for a program. And people always make fun of teachers. Teacher is a source of enjoyment for students there. So there is no respect of superiors. Even at household, we find children's hardly, they have some respect for the parents. So this sign of Kali Yuga. So austerity of body is impossible. First disqualification. No praise for superiors. No respect for them. And Krishna says, simplicity. Simplicity is simply absent in this world. People encourage duplicity. One devotee who was studying in a management college, he was telling me that one of his teachers was telling that if you want to be a good manager, you have to become duplicitous. That is taught in the college. If you are duplicitous, then you can progress in the corporate career. So this is taught in the education, become duplicitous. Celibacy. Celibacy was a big joke today. Celibacy is not considered at all. I was reading a joke about celibacy that there was a priest. It was written by a Karmi person who was joking about celibacy. That a priest, he was celibate throughout his life and he was proud of it. But I am the only celibate person and everyone is enjoying. And they made a joke of him that when he went to heaven, he thought, let me go and read the original Bible. So he opened the original Bible and he was going through words. And then he became astonished and he was lamenting. He was crying. Oh God, what happened? And the man mentions, who wrote the joke, that he saw a word there and he was confused. Because that word on the earth planet read as celibate. But the original Bible said celebrate. So therefore he said there is confusion and actually celebrate has become celibate. So it's a joke. No one can do celibacy now. So this is austerity of body which is impossible in the age of Kali for most people staying outside. Austerity of speech, Lord Krishna says, being truthful, being pleasing, speaking words that those are beneficial, speaking words that don't agitate others, and regularly reciting Vedic literatures. And austerity of mind is satisfaction, again simplicity, gravity, self-control and purification of one's existence. So this is austerity. Now, as per charity is concerned, Krishna says that charity means charity should be given out of duty, without expectation of return, at proper time and place, and to a worthy person, and such a charity is considered to be a mode of goodness. In this world, charity is very rarely heard. In fact, recently in the news, a big millionaire is making news that you know he's giving all of his wealth in charity after his retirement. Previously in Vedic ages, everyone would give charity and there was not a news. Today it's a news that some rich man, a millionaire, the richest man, he's giving charity. Of course, it's a very big thing. He's able to give his money. But the point is, the Vedic age, people love to give charity. Renunciation was natural there. Bharat Maharaj, when he renounced, the Bhagavatam mentions he did not turn back also. because he considered that as tool. Of course, we find today that people, even though they invest and give charity, they become very much interested where the charity goes, how it goes, and so they are more interested in their money afterwards also. So the gentleman also is now using his intelligence and making a charitable institution and is going to use intelligence to see how his money is going. But previously, charity also was given, not thought also. And of course, Bhagavad Gita says charity means given to a proper person, then proper time and proper place. So there is no concept of charity known today. In fact, people give charity expecting some benefits. Is it not? Like, for example, Srila Prabhupada introduced the brilliant idea of life membership. Why? To take people's money. But then he also had a program of giving something. So devotees would go for life membership program and ask that all these facilities you'll get. You know, you'll get 3 days stay in a hotel anywhere in the world. You can come and take prasad. All books of Prabhupada will be available to you. And they will see it. Yes, and they will calculate. You know, I am spending less and getting more. That's good. So you'll become a life member. So they say Prabhupada tricked a person to become charitable. Even now also we have this ATG benefit. Somehow people can give charity, you know, some benefit is there. Tax exemption. So in this way, charity has become a very rare term in this world. Many people do not go for charity. And even if they do some charity, they want the name and fame in that. We often find, go to temples, you'll find a fan, Shri Poddar Ke Saujanya Se. On the fan, there is written the name of the person. One blade sponsored. Second blade, some other person. So even for charity, they want a name and fame. They will open temples with their names. So there is some charity to be given, but expectation is more. That my name should increase, my fame should increase. So in this case, charity also will not work in Kali Yuga. As far as vows are concerned, one devotee was mentioning that vows in Kali Yuga are like line on a water. As soon as you draw, the line is gone. So therefore people take so much resolutions. Every day is a new resolution coming up. But next day it breaks. They can't keep resolutions. So therefore one should take a vow that keeping a resolution of the last year, then to make a new resolution. So even as devotees, we see that it's such a big thing to keep our vows after initiation. We pray to the deities, we pray to devotees that please be merciful to us so that we can lifelong chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds minimum, follow four principles and keep this vow. I remember when I was getting initiated, I was excited, not for taking vow, but for getting a new name. The whole idea was initiation means new name. And then before initiation, before the new name comes, then all this formality sitting there and coming and then speaking those vows. And then I remember that the spiritual master was reminding everyone, so you have taken a vow in front of Lord, in front of fire, in front of all the devotees, in front of the spiritual master. And then he made us speak that vow in mic. So that everyone hears and he also hears again what he spoke. And then that goes ingrained in our heart that, yes, I'm supposed to follow these vows. Why? Because to follow vows is very difficult in the age of Kali Yuga. So therefore, generally, this one point I left, that generally when we take vow also, sometimes, especially in my case, we follow vows, certain vows, because we get some respect from adoration, something from Vaishnavas because of following those things. So if you don't follow, then Vaishnavas, what will Vaishnavas think? I yesterday came late night from the program. I don't want to come for Mangalarti, but then suddenly, what will devotees think of me? So even in following vow, there is some hope that, you know, my respect should continue. Janaya was mentioning that, okay, this is okay, if someone thinking that what will devotees think of me, others think of me. But the best part is think, what will Krishna think of me if I break my vow? Krishna is so mercifully giving me the spiritual master, devotees. He'll think that I gave everything to him, still he's not following. So that's the best meditation one can have. So therefore you find Kali Yuga, people are self-centered. Whatever they do, austerity, charity, vow, it is based on what I will get through that. If some remuneration is there, I'll do it. So therefore, in this age of Kali Yuga, where people cannot follow austerity, vow, and penance, Srila Prabhupada says, only devotional service works. Srila Prabhupada, right from the initial days of ISKCON, he would preach strongly about, on the first day, that how we have committed the original sin. The original sin is, we have misused our free will and went against Lord's desire. And therefore we are rotting here. Prabhupada did not consider about all those atonements and all those current sinful activities a person is doing. People would come, they would be drunkards, womanizers. Devotees, Prabhupada would not mind them coming because Prabhupada knew everyone was sinful because of the original sin. And Prabhupada worked to rectify that. And therefore Prabhupada encouraged everyone, no matter whatever background you're coming from, take to chanting. Whether you know it or don't know it, start chanting. And because of chanting process, the devotional service worked and people became devotees. So Prabhupada stressed more on the original sin. Nowadays people mostly stress on atoning for different sinful reactions. Prabhupada did not stress on those. Prabhupada stressed on the original sin. So devotional service, which includes the nine process, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, is a very easy process by which when a person takes to that process, not only his sinful reactions are eradicated, but the sinful proclivity in his heart is also eradicated. So devotional service is very easy. So now we'll come back to the pastime of Matsya Avatar. Now we will see the Phalashruti of this particular chapter. Shukdev Goswami says, this story concerning the great king Satyavrata and the fish incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is a great transcendental narration. Anyone who hears it is delivered from reactions of sinful life. This is the potency of Krishna Katha. Just by hearing, devotee already freed from sinful life, but even a person comes and sits here and he heard this fish incarnation pastime, he is delivered from sinful life. He is not qualified in Kali Yuga for austerity, vow, and penance. But just by sitting in Krishna Katha, he is delivered from sinful life. Now if he wants to go progress ahead, then I should speak that Krishna Katha also. And Shukdev Goswami says, one who narrates this description of Matsya incarnation and King Satyavrata will certainly have all his ambitions fulfilled and he'll undoubtedly return home back to Godhead. So that is the point. If someone is hearing and then he gets a desire, Matsya Avatar is such a powerful pastime, let me share this with others. Just by sharing with others, he is eligible to go back to Godhead. That is the simple process of devotional service. So you will find in Bhagavatam, many times this will come, that you hear this pastime, you will be eradicated from sinful life. So without even knowing it, just by attending Krishna Katha, by chanting of the holy names, sinful reactions are eradicated. And if you are very sincere, it goes more deeper, eradicates the original sin, that is envy towards Supreme Lord, and generates Krishna Prem and take us back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Any comments? Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tai Gaur Vandana.